What up, bros?
What up, bros?
And welcome to Bruh Meets World.
What is Bruh Meets World?
Your boy meets world fan cast.
Hey.
I'm Siege.
I am Tony Curtis. How are you, sir?
I am doing really, really well. For those
Siege,
of you who
can
don't
you
know,
stop?
Yeah,
can you stop
yeah.
right now? Because I'm looking at your hoodie right now, and it seems like it has our logo on it. Is there news
it
about
does,
this that we should
guys,
know?
This is the season six. This is the season six report card, and we have a lot of announcements going up to you today. Starting off with our morning announcements, bright and early, we're going to get right into it. We have, I believe they call it merch.
We got merch!
We got merch. We got merch. We got hoodies, we got shirts, we've got glasses, mugs, stickers, pens. You guys, this is no denying. Pod was very, very helpful to us, and they've inspired us, and we got merch. So
you guys have been asking for merch for the longest time, and we finally got our act together. We have some incredible merch for you guys to check out, and we are going to keep adding fun shirts and a bunch of things to the store. So, yeah, guys, we encourage you to go and support our pod, check out a shirt, maybe gift it to a friend. You know, just they create great stocking stuffers. Yes, it is June. Yes, it is June, but still, stocking stuffers, guys.
I mean, you need that hot tank for the summer, and
we got you covered.
We got you covered. Also, announcements. I believe you guys know this by now, but we were on season two of Pod Meets World doing their season two wrap-up. So go over there and listen to that. Let us know what you guys think.
I am not being facetious when I say that they are literally our best friends in the whole wide world. We have talked to them multiple times. We've hung out with them. I've had personal conversations with them. They are basically our best friends, and I dare anyone to dispute it.
Okay, that, you know what, strong statement. But either way, we appreciate you guys listening to them. We appreciate you guys listening to us. We're really excited about this next chapter. But before we get to that next chapter, we have an entire season of our own to cover.
Absolutely.
And we're really excited to kind of talk to you guys about this. So that leads us to a segment we're calling Class Discussion. You guys have been so great with your feedback and reaching out to us. And because of that, we wanted to take some time during our season six report card to hear from you guys, hear from our listeners. So in doing so, I have a few letters from listeners that I want to cover. If you want to listen to this, feel free. If you want to jump straight to the report card, feel free to do that. We'll leave the timestamps. But this, our first letter is from Bonnie. And Bonnie says, Corey was never my favorite character, but I think I've always gave him a pass for the most part in reference to Sean, largely because Sean loves him so much. And your podcast has really helped me to see that he's even problematic in terms of his relationship with Sean. I was definitely the kind of person who, like Sean, was willing to put up with anything in order to just keep a best friend, who was always around and on some level cared about me. Also, I never really loved Topanga. She always irritated me in the later seasons, from the pig episode onward. She's self-righteous, that she drives me crazy, largely because she reminded me of someone I knew in real life. However, I'm also realizing from your discussions that it's just that the writers had no idea how to write for a woman, essentially feeding into the bias that was already toxic around me, making me hate being stuck being a woman by a cruel twist of fate, always relegating to being a supporting character who only served to help others achieve their dreams. Major bummers, my dudes. But thanks for helping me recognize it, Bonnie. What do you have to say to Bonnie?
Wow.
Coming out the game strong.
Fantastic comment from Bonnie. Thank you so much for sharing that. You know, I think that her journey with Corey is really interesting. Like, this idea that I liked Corey because Sean liked Corey, and I've had friends that I've allowed, you know, just because I wanted to be friends with them, allowed them to treat me however, really kind of goes into like the boundary issues that we've seen with Sean this season, with him kind of letting Corey kind of do whatever he wants without there being any real consequences to it. And I thought what she had to say about Topanga was also really interesting, because like her, I also didn't really care for Topanga's character as we got towards the later seasons, and it's for the reasons that she stated. Like, we're seeing that the writing just isn't there. It doesn't feel like they knew who this character was to expand upon her. So all of those insights I found to be really interesting. What about you?
Oh, absolutely. I think that what is a very interesting thing that we could have explored if we don't really this season, but the idea of your friends kind of getting tired of your own bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, there's this thing where we've mentioned it several times in season six. It seems like the characters themselves, as well as the writers and the actors, are just kind of like over it. It's like, oh, we're doing this again. And that happens in real life. There's plenty of friendships where it's like, oh, you're going to make that same mistake again. Oh, this isn't like a learning thing. This is a choice at this point in time. Okay. You know, like,
and nothing like mean towards the cast or whatever when we say that, like, they're at this point where it doesn't feel like anyone's hearts are really in it anymore, because these are comments that they've said themselves about the later seasons, about being burnt out, about being mentally checked out. Like, this isn't something that we're doing to insult the makers of the project, but it just feels like everyone has been doing it for so long that the love is kind of starting to fade, and the care that was, you know, put into each episode just isn't quite there anymore. So
absolutely. All right, to keep this going, our next letter is from Soraya. I want to say Soraya. She says, "Hi, I was just introduced to your podcast while discovering Pod Meets World, and I love it so much. I listened to My Baby Valentine and Resurrection, and I was so happy y'all went in on Corey because I always felt like I was in the minority, preferring him in the earlier seasons and hating him in the later seasons, to the point where the last season is really hard for me to rewatch. I hate how his misogyny and selfishness is never called out by anyone, or when it is, it is somehow turned around on them. Also, I listened to Your Chick Like Me, which growing up was one of my favorite episodes, and so I was anxious to hear your perspective because I knew you guys would go in. I agreed with so much of what you had to say, but there's one thing that I was hoping y'all would touch on. One of the things I noticed was that it actually seemed like Sean really enjoyed dressing / pretending to be a girl. He had already picked out a name and seemed to imply that he'd studied women's walk and movements, which to me seemed more than sexual. Like, I definitely felt Corey's drag was played for laughs, but with Sean, I kept wondering if another non-TGIF universe, it would have been explored more. One more thing from Soraya. I often wonder if Corey's obsession with Sean is slightly sexual or romantic. I felt that a lot in this episode. Like, I know that he sometimes do a bit with Sean and Corey are a couple, but Corey definitely seemed attracted to Sean in this episode. Which is the Chick Like Me episode. All right, so Soraya, again, you guys are giving us your heavy discussions. We're really happy to talk about this. T, what do you have?
Well, first of all, yes, we are in season six, but happy to go back and discuss any of the past episodes. I know a lot of you guys are following along with Pod Meets World, so as you get to these episodes, please feel free to restart these conversations with us. Chick Like Me, season 4, episode 15. One of my favorite seasons of the show, and that episode, Like Her, was one I grew up watching and enjoying, and the fact that she pointed that out, I knew immediately what she was talking about. There was something about Sean that felt so natural and comfortable as a woman. As soon as he put a dress on, it just felt like it wasn't a costume the way it was with Corey. It felt like something that was like authentic in a way. She's like everything she said is 100% accurate because I got all of those same readings from there. And yeah, I mean, the sexual thing between Corey and Sean in that episode is interesting because Corey can't help but checking out Sean, but like, why? Like, it's all very interesting.
I have a lot to say in terms of this. First of all, thank you again for writing to us. I love this observation. To me, and this is like where I stand now, you know, some distance from Chick Like Me, I would say that I've had friends. I had like a heterosexual male friend come up to me and was like, hey, I kind of like was interested and curious, and I bought myself this dress or the skirt, and he's like, I just liked the way it made me feel. And he's like, I write in it sometimes because it just like gives me the confidence or whatever. And he's like, does that mean something? And I was like, well, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I don't know, I'm not an expert, but I will say that if it gives you confidence and you feel the most comfortable in it, then just do that. Like, clothing is clothing. And I think that one of the things that I've really learned to embrace, and I feel like the younger generation really has learned to embrace, is that clothes are in fact just clothing, and anyone can wear anything they want to. It's about self-expression. And I would say that Sean most likely has in fact studied women. There is like some, one of those things where it's like, in order for him to kind of like advance in life, women was one of the tokens that like gave him a sense of success. Sure. So I could see a world where it's like, he is just fascinated by it. Not necessarily anything to do with his own identity, but more so just really embracing the intriguing, beautiful, fascinating nature of femininity, you know?
Totally. I mean, once you get to the point where you realize that everything is a spectrum, you kind of realize that there aren't any really hard rules, dude. If you like putting on a skirt and writing in your journal, bro, do live your life. Do you. Correct. Like, there's no rules. And, you know, I would be interested to hearing your thoughts on this kind of headcanon I'm forming about the correlation between LGBTQ rights movements happening socially and the rise of androgynous fashion choices, because absolutely, it feels like there is, like, if you go back to the 80s, there's just that connection there. And I wonder if that's something that's happening now as well. So it's just a lot of interesting stuff to just kind of break down. But yeah, there's no rules, bro.
I 100% agree. And I think that what it is like when you realize that certain rules were only made to, in fact, cage you in, you feel more comfortable breaking other quote unquote rules or norms. And that's, if anything, that's exactly why certain people have a problem with progress, because they're like, oh, these rules help me in my worldview. And what happens when no one else wants to adhere to my worldview? And I think that, you know, that's unfortunate for those people, but for those who are brave enough to actually question and want to identify what works best for them, I think that this is great. Both the androgyny, the non-binary, the experimenting, all of that. And then to hit on her observation of Corey's sexual attraction, we have always said that Corey and Sean are homoromantic. And if anyone, like, homoromantic is completely different from homosexual. Homoromantic is they have a bond where they treat each other like romantic partners. And there is a love that's there. Codependency, absolutely. So I can also see a world in which if you have that homoromantic relationship with someone and then they begin to present as a sexual option you are taught to chase and desire, there would be some kind of confusion there. There would be a little bit of blurred lines, not in the Robin Thicke way, but like in, like just in the, you know, like, that's doing something, you know what I mean?
100%. And like, maybe you're not a dude who likes another dude. Maybe you're just a dude who likes dudes in dresses. Like, it could just be, like, it doesn't have to be this like firm, like, oh, you are this, I'm gonna check this box now. It's like, bro, just go with it. Just go with the breeze. It's like, it's not that serious.
Absolutely. Our next letter is from Katie. Katie says, so my parents divorced after just about 20 years of marriage. Topanga's parents reminded me of that after nearly all of childhood together, they decided to just be done. As a child of that, I reacted pretty much like it didn't happen or something. I don't remember, but it was a challenge to deal with it then and now. They can't even stand each other after over 14 years of marriage. That was weird for me. Totally agree, though, that they should have just kept the parents still as hippies or even had them check in occasionally on their minor child who was still in school when they left. Do you mind if I reread that entire thing?
Sure. Yeah.
Sorry about this. This is kind of messy.
No.
Our next letter is from Katie. Katie says, so my parents divorced after just 20 years of marriage. Topanga's parents reminded me of that even after nearly all of adulthood together, they decided to just be done. As a child of that, I reacted pretty much like it didn't even happen. I remember It was a challenge to deal with, and now they can't even stand each other after 14 years of marriage. That's my weird input. But totally agree with you guys that they should have kept her parents still as hippies or even have them check in on their minor child occasionally who was still in school when they left. What do you have to say to Katie? I think this is the response to our final episode, State of the Unions. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, we were kind of talking in that episode. I think I specifically mentioned that, you know, my parents divorced when I was much younger as a child. So I was questioning what, like, what, how big of a motivation it was for Topanga in terms of, you know, her relationship with Corey, you know, rethinking the wedding, rethinking love, like, would this have the same impact on her? And it seems like the overall consensus is yes, that like what she's going through is a very, you know, typical reaction to, you know, this family unit breaking apart that you kind of thought was going to be forever. So yeah, I think there probably is a little bit more truth to that and a truth to her character's motivation. I think the big thing that was hard for us was just that her parents seemed to be so insignificant in her life in general that I was just like, oh, is this really going to change her day to day? But I think it's just kind of more this concept, this idea of like, I thought something was going to be forever and it wasn't. And so what does that mean for me? So
absolutely. I have to say, and I think I've said this before, but my partner, his parents have been together literally his entire life. And they continue to do so. And I remember once I just said something about like their relationship may not be what you think it is. And he got so upset because like for people like that is, if that is your example of like consistency and love will persevere and everything else, people like they feel very, very protective of that. If that's what's getting you through. And that's like your idea of like true love. So I absolutely think that when you start to question someone's foundation, like their foundational principles about what they believe, sure, you're going to get some pushback. It's going to be emotional because, again, you're changing who they are.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Okay. Final email, our second and final, is David. David wrote, the Eric and Sean scene, while hilarious and very Will and Ryder, kind of ignores the history of the show as much as the Jedediah plot. Again, I think this is a response to State of the Union, episode 6.22. They act as if they've never spoken to each other before, which I theorize is the reason Ryder and Will incorrectly remembered that they had never been in the scene. As they're discovering on Pod Meets World, Eric and Sean consistently had scenes together, especially in the first few seasons. But because the writers only remember about 10 episodes back at any given time, we're supposed to go along with their scenes as if they're basically strangers. So yeah, that is that scene in State of the Unions where Eric and Sean are just like, oh yeah, we don't really talk to each other. We're like, but you guys do.
You know, I hear that comment and I 100% know what they mean. Like there are definitely instances that I can think of where Sean and Eric have interactions throughout the show. I think what they were touching on in that episode and what we were kind of commenting on was this idea that like, why can't they be closer? Why can't they be good friends? Like I you know, one of the things that's really interesting, like for example, you and I weren't really that good of friends in high school. It was only after high school that you and I became really good friends. And it would have been interesting to kind of show that like friendships can evolve and change. And like the person who was your best friend is now your best friend. And that happens all the time. And like, it would have just been really interesting to kind of have them develop a relationship that was a true friendship that didn't have to do with Corey or Jack. And I think that's the thing that I was commenting on, but they're absolutely right that there is interaction between the two characters.
Well, it's actually funny because as you and I spoke about in that episode, Sean's essentially Eric's adoptive brother. Like it's one of those things where it's like, it would be one thing if he was just Corey's friend, but sure, it's like you lived with him twice, once with your parents, once while you were in college. You've seen him grow, you've met his family. Like it's like you are so ingrained in each other's life. And yes, while you don't necessarily, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have like a lot of one-on-ones, you guys have had one-on-ones and there should be a little bit of conversation and trust. I don't know,
to that point, when you think about how much we've seen of Jack, Rachel, and Eric this season, just remember that last season, Sean was Rachel. She was in that apartment. Why is it that he didn't have the same interactions with Jack and Eric that Rachel is having when she doesn't even have the history that Sean brings into that equation? So it was just strange that we saw so much of Rachel interacting with these two characters, and we never saw Sean interacting with them really on their own in a significant way, specifically Eric.
All right. The last thing, and like, feel free if you don't have an answer to this one, but Pumpkin Spice Hottie says, "Hi guys, love the show. Are there other podcasts that look at 90s shows / pop culture run by Black creators? I would love to support."
You know, I'm sure there are. I don't know that I have a ton off the top of my head right now.
I will say right off the bat that we do know that the show No More Late Fees is half, like, one of the hosts is Black female there. They are absolutely fantastic. We love them. We had a really fun conversation. Check out that conversation with them. We also have Melanin Marvels, who we have done. So if you look through
80s, 90s, 2000 vibes podcast is also Black run. There's the Keek Show is POC. Like, there's definitely some ones out there that you can check out.
This season, we tried to be really mindful of having guests on who were people of color or marginalized groups, because we too want to support. So if you guys have ones that you want us to check out, or if you have other ones that we missed, please feel free to share with us.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. And then I think we have a audio clip for the,
you know, episode. Okay. So I feel kind of bad because I don't really know how to pronounce the names of these girls. I think they're sisters and they live in Turkey and they are obsessed with Boy Meets World. They have been writing us and corresponding with us on our Instagram page. And I have tried to pronounce their name, Zeynep, I want to say. And I believe that they wrote an entire like video essay about the psychotic episode, the episode in which Corey is pushing people down the elevator. And I just think that might be relevant for the clip that we're going to hear.
So I actually like this episode because we haven't seen Lauren for a really long time. And Lauren represented the alternative pathway in Corey's life, as it was a really different girl than Topanga. And he was so determined to marry Topanga because they had met at a really early age and he thought she was his soulmate. So yeah, seeing her at that moment and the fact that they acknowledged she represented an alternative pathway in his life was really significant. And she was the only one that was jumping from that elevator shaft. All the others, he was pushing them. And it started with Sean being pushed down the elevator shaft. And as a person who has a twin sister and really close to her, romantic relationships change things with the person you are closest to. So yeah, that really resonated with me, I guess.
Wow. All right. Okay. So for those of you, again, a little recap. In season 6, episode 21, the psychotic episode, Sean is thrown down an elevator shaft because Corey keeps having dreams about killing Sean. And we see Lauren for the first time in some time. And I like what she said. The idea of Lauren being this other pathway that Corey could have gone down, the symbol of like what Corey's life could be, and this other love story that he could have had he not been dedicated to marrying the first girl who he felt was his soulmate. I like that.
I thought she brought up a very good point that the other characters were pushed, but Lauren was the one that jumped. And when she jumped, Corey shouts, "No," as if he didn't want her to go down the shaft. So I think all of those points are extremely relevant. Even if we stay on this timeline that we're on, I think the fact that Corey was hesitant to say goodbye to Lauren versus Sean or anyone else, interesting. A lot of interesting points. And you know what? They've reached out to us. Her and her twin sister have reached out to us a ton. The fact that we have international fans is crazy to me. The fact that Boy Meets World has international fans is crazy. So love their fandom and love that they contributed that message, because that was something that I was thinking when I was watching the episode as well.
I did not have that observation, but it's very important to me to see that, like, her jumping almost symbolizes as she removed herself. You know, like as far as Corey's mind is concerned, it's like, it's not that he didn't want that option. It's that that option removed itself from the story. Like, it was something that just couldn't be if he was going to be with Topanga.
Sure.
And again, I think that's so important, because had at a young age, people who watch this show so dedicatedly and learn so much from this show, had they actually been like, hey, there will be times in your life that you're tempted and you've been with someone and you love them, but there is this other option on the table, and that option may not necessarily be better, may not necessarily be worse, but it's just different. And you're always going to wonder. I feel like that would have been helpful. I don't know.
I think that if, when Lauren came out, because think about this, the psychotic episode was at the very end of season 6. And you could almost say that Corey and Topanga's entire arc that they've been going through since they got engaged really started with that ski episode in season 5. And it's kind of just been the ripple effects of that ever since. So to me, when we were like, oh, Corey doesn't really have an arc this season, it would have made the show a lot more richer for Lauren to come out and for Corey to make the decision of just like, no, you're not the one, like telling her versus screaming for her to not jump, would have just made the whole arc a lot richer and more fulfilling. And I was like, oh, all of this makes sense now. He has learned. He went from, I'm curious about this, to now I know what I want in my life and you are no longer needed. Goodbye. There wasn't that arc. And so it would have been really nice to just see something come from all of this bullshit that we've seen.
To your point, I think that if you're right, we've already noted that the proposal comes from Topanga, comes like mere days after her and Corey get back together from the show's own timeline.
Yep, yep.
Like, they have not been back together since the Lauren incident for very long before Topanga proposes as a way to avoid going to Yale and really challenging herself and to hold on to Corey, because to your point, maybe there would be other Laurens. And if I don't tie this down now, who knows what will happen to Corey and I. And this entire season, in a way, has been Corey being like, I know I said yes. I know I went back and proposed to you, but the reality of that is so much different. Because when I was in high school, that was one thing. But in college, that's a whole other request and ask. And
I really feel like the season finale would have been a lot better if, like, the closing credits wasn't that whole Corey canceling the venue on there, was, you know, Corey and Topanga maybe going in the kitchen and having a quiet conversation, being like, maybe we rushed into this. And that just being the way it ended. Because it's like a perfect, like a perfect circle to everything that happened since the last season finale.
That's it. You perfectly said. If the I love that so much, because it actually would give this season an arc. If the season ended with Topanga going into the kitchen and saying, Corey, I don't know if I can do this. And then the phone rings and it's the vendor being like, do you want the date or not?
Yeah.
How amazing would that be?
Yep.
Talk about a cliffhanger. Like, and it makes Topanga an active participant in her own engagement.
Sure. And yeah, I know what people are going to say, like, oh, that kind of comes out in season 7. Yeah, but it's kind of too little too late by this point. Like, this season really needed to have like a strong message and a strong arc for these central characters. And like, it starts with his answer, her answer, are the two episodes that start the season. And then it ends with like just this kind of hypothetical question in the air of it not working out. But it feels like it would have been stronger for them to really give us that cliffhanger of them kind of saying, this, we rushed into this.
Not only that, hear me out. You guys know what we do here. It's all fan fiction. Ride with me. Season 6 finale is their answer.
Ooh.
And that's the... Because one of the things that I love, for those of you who know me, know that I love the show Steven Universe. And in Steven Universe, there's an episode that it's called The Question, and there's a later episode that's called The Answer. Or maybe they're reverse. I don't know. But like either way, it is all to be like seasons apart. This is what The Question was. This is what The Answer is. And I just think that if we had started off the season with his answer, her answer, and then at the end of the season, their answer, where they're both, or even The Question.
Where I mean, their answer would also work for Feeny. Their answer would also work for any of these other relationships. Like, it could still work.
Again, or The Question, because we end with a lot of, so if that would have happened at the end, oh God, talk about poetry. And what I'm saying is, in general, to me, that's what, that kind of writing is what we want from Boy Meets World. Because that's the kind of writing that Boy Meets World is known for. And, you know, it's what it's known for. I didn't say it always gives us, but it's what it's known for. Definitely. And I really would have liked to have like that kind of poetry. Magnifique.
You know, we're talking a lot about other people's responses to season six. Should we get into our recap of
Let's
season six?
Let's get into it. Let's start off with our honor roll, baby.
Okay.
Honor roll. Okay, as you guys know, we are going to run down some of the best of this season. So, best episode from our ratings.
Okay.
Our best episodes of the season were Hogs and Kisses and Everybody Loves Stuart. Complete tie.
Interesting. Okay, because when I wrote my favorite episode of the season, I also put Everybody Loves Stuart as my favorite episode.
That was your favorite episode.
When I was looking through all of the episodes of season six, I was like, never want to rewatch this, never want to rewatch this, and I just went and I was like, oh no, the Stuart episode I think is worth rewatching. I think that that has a lot of the heart of a season five episode. I think that it's probably the most relevant of all the episodes from this season. There was just a lot of duds, bro. Like, I don't know. That was the one that I was just like, yeah, I would rewatch this. But the others didn't really make that list for me. What about you?
Yeah, look, honestly, I feel like those are, like, I feel like the Everybody Loves Stuart episode is very complex. It's very adult. It's very... let's have a Boy Meets World conversation.
Sure.
I feel like Hogs and Kisses is an episode we just enjoyed.
Now, Hogs and Kisses, to refresh everyone, is the episode where Sean and Topanga kiss in the college recruitment video. They're making out for whatever reason.
Underpants!
Corey is just, yes, dealing with the fallout from this. So that was a very goofy episode, and I think it had a lot of laughs in it, and I think that's why we probably enjoyed it. But
Correct. I really... there's no denying that that episode was specifically the Stuart episode was impactful and was impactful for, I'll say, Sean, Corey, and Topanga's relationship.
The other thing to note is that both of those episodes are like, what, November, October episodes? Like, they were at the front half of the season, and like the season just doesn't get better. Like,
I'm not gonna lie, it's really funny to realize that this season, the beginning of the season, we're like, yeah, and then it just turns.
Well, it seems like post Christmas they forgot they were in college. Like, it just never came up again. Like, there was never any issues revolving school, really, the way they were in the first half, or even in the seasons prior that led up to this. Seasons 3, 4, and 5 are all, like, so tied into their schooling. And then we get to the second half of season 6, and it's just a lot of kind of relationship stuff happening outside of school.
Absolutely. What is your favorite character of this season?
Chet.
Chet's always an easy answer. Like, you guys know, this is not to say that Chet is a good character.
No.
He's one of our favorite characters. And to see him come in and leave in like the most iconic of ways.
Yeah.
We'll get there. But like Chet is, I can see that.
He's my favorite character just because, honestly, I don't really like the arcs of any other character. Like, even the ones that I think are okay are just kind of like, I mean, it's okay for season six, Sean. Like, it's okay for season six, Eric. But, like, this isn't shit I want to return to. Like, I don't want to see these characters develop this way. Like, I just don't see myself coming back to season six because of the character arc. So, if I have to choose a favorite character, it will be Chet because he's just so memorable and had such a mutant send-off.
Okay, so I'm not gonna lie, there is one character that I'm gonna miss, and I am so problematic for this. I already know this, but from the episode "You're Married, You're Dead," Gamblin' Dan was hot. I didn't have a lot to thirst over this episode, this season. Like, I don't have Turner here.
I know. I haven't
quite reached his himbo stage. So Gamblin' Dan was just one of those characters where I'm like, is it wrong and problematic? Absolutely. So should I use a little bit more screen time?
Maybe. If we had a Turned On by Turner award, and we can't give it to Turner, you would give it to Gamblin' Dan. That's very interesting. Yeah.
Interesting is the way to put that.
Yeah, I mean, he was extremely problematic, but yeah, it's there's not a lot. There's not a lot, honestly.
Most improved character.
I'm gonna go with probably Eric is okay. Gonna be my most approved, simply because it seemed like towards the end of the season he was really like he was thinking about his life. He was taking his life seriously. Like, yeah. I think this dude really tried to make college work. He tried to make get a girlfriend and like live the life, like basically follow Corey's blueprint of finding a best friend and finding a girlfriend and just like doing the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I think he realized as the season went on that that just wasn't in the cards for him that way. And it seemed like he was actively at a point where he was about to do something about it. I'm not saying that we get to see that play out, but in terms of an arc, it seems like, and I mean, they mentioned this in Pod Meets World about how they were writing a spinoff for Eric. So it seems like he was the only character that they really had a plan for from the beginning to the end of the season. Sean, I would say it does seem like he has a planned arc, but his is just such a bummer. And I know Eric's is a bummer too, but I think I enjoy seeing Eric mature. I enjoyed seeing him interacting with Tommy. I enjoyed just seeing like his range this season that we just didn't really get from previous seasons. So he's my answer. What about you?
Here's the thing. If I want to be honest, and I thought about this, I don't really have a favorite one because I feel like you
most improved.
Feel like a most improved. I don't really have a most improved because I feel like all the ones that I wanted to give it to at some point in time just didn't quite go there for me. The only one from the main class that I would give would be Sean. And that's because, as you said, we do get some kind of like layers to him that we haven't quite gotten. We even have him start to challenge Corey a little bit. Yeah. But that's quickly, you know, given up. And so what I wanted to do at this particular stage was kind of give like honorable, this is the honor roll. So honorable mentions, which is to say Angela and Rachel. I feel like Rachel joining this cast, it's really unfortunate what they do with her stories lines, but there is something to be said about having another female character on the show that is Eric and Jack's age. And that also just kind of like can make this feel like college. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. And I want to give another honorable mention to Dean Bollinger, introduced this season, and I feel like kind of took over the Mr. Turner slot in terms of being that other contemporary for Feeny to kind of bounce off against, especially at the beginning half of this season. I felt like, you know, I really enjoyed her presence. She fit in well, you know, especially during the Everybody Loves Stewart episode. She has a lot of Feeny tendencies in the way that she teaches and the way that she has relationships with the students. So I felt like she was a good add to the cast in general. And again, anytime we get more female characters, it's always good.
And to that note, I had said Angela in my previous answer, and I want to just expand on that. Like, again, I don't really feel like they give Trina McGee enough to do, but when she is on screen, she completely sells it. And yeah, I don't know. Like, I just wanted to honor them
sure.
a little bit because I feel like they do good work, even if they don't get the respect they deserve.
I just want to say, Angela's arc this season kind of bothers me because they start with Sean and Angela going to school and then just being like, okay, you know what? We're going to be in college. We're going to break up. And it just seems like I would have really appreciated if Angela just had a really, I guess, a more firm, a more confident stance. It just seemed like she was kind of being yo-yoed around by Sean and kind of okay with it in ways that I kind of wish she would have, you know, had more of agency. And I don't know. I was disappointed in her arc this season, but she does great work regardless.
Speaking of disappointment, are you ready to move on to detention?
Absolutely.
Okay, so the worst episode of the season, per our own grading system, was Resurrection. And that, we rated that with that, which is crazy when I think about it, because in some ways that is a part two episode, and in some ways you would think the whole Joshua storyline would be more important, but I feel like they just dropped the ball in so many ways in that episode. One of our fans' credit, I'm so sorry I don't have your name written down. It's in my other notes. But someone pointed out it was actually Michael Jacobs who plays the religious leader in that episode. So that's interesting.
Yeah,
he definitely shows up. He does a little M. Night Shyamalan cameo.
Mm-hmm. And his son later on plays Joshua next season. So
I do know that. Mm-hmm. I'm well aware of that. But I think that was probably one of the best highlights of that episode. I don't know. That episode's all over the place to me.
Yeah, when I was thinking about my worst episode, not thinking about the score we gave, I was like, oh, I'm kind of tied between You're Married, You're Dead, My Baby Valentine, Can I Cheer You? Can I Help Cheer You? But yeah, Resurrection was just like one of those things where it was so hard to watch. It was so hard to excuse Corey's behavior. It was so hard to go along with the story they were trying to tell, because I was just so distracted by his bullshit that like it really, in terms of episodes, I never want to rewatch again, like that whole thing. And you know what? It has very little to do with Joshua. It has very little to do with Amy. You know, Amy is giving birth and like the whole season is just like, oh, where's Amy? She seems like she's going through a lot. She's in her 40s. She's about to have a baby. Like, we should be showing this. We should be talking about this. And the moment Josh pops out, like, we hardly hear from her again. We hardly hear about how she's doing. We hardly hear about what the payoff is, other than that she's just busy taking care of him while Eric is sleeping on the couch. Like, there's just no emotional nuance to that story. And so, like, I don't know. Like, I think we were supposed to feel a lot, but they don't pay off the characters enough for me to have an emotional attachment.
I love that you said that. I would say that the My Baby Valentine storyline, and that bleeds over into Resurrection, is in fact my least favorite thing of this season. Mm-hmm. And while I'm in love with the potential of both of those storylines. Yeah. But I don't know if you've seen this. There was a meme that was like, is the potential in the room with us?
Yeah.
Which is basically to say that potential means nothing if it's not real. And
almost doesn't count.
Dude, I gotta talk to you about like just how much that song means to me one day. But anyway, I love the potential. The idea of Amy is in her late 40s. Having another child after raising two children who are in college and one who's almost out. What does that feel like for her? How scary was it for her, her pregnancy to not go the way that she thought it would go? Topanga trying to merge and make this engagement and family and be part of the Matthews work, and nothing can go right. Like, all of those storylines, even the idea of Corey and Topanga realizing that, hey, maybe we're a little too codependent right now.
Sure.
What is something that I would love to explore, but it takes us nowhere, and therefore it's literally one of my least favorite parts about this season.
Absolutely. Do you have a worst character or least favorite character?
I think the least favorite would be Be Love,
Be True.
Be True.
Wait, no, episode or character?
All of it. Like all of it. I just was like, I don't know. I didn't need it.
My worst character for the season, I think, is Corey. I had a really hard time enjoying the season because of him.
I felt like that went without saying, but I think you're right to actually say it. Like, for me, I was like, outside the obvious, which is that Corey was obvious, just such a drag this season. So much so that you're right. I feel like, in a way, if we remove Corey and Corey's storyline from most of this season, we have a better show. But
they don't know what to do with him. And this is the problem that, like, a lot of television shows that have, like, your everyday average Joe as, like, the central lead is, like, they're the least interesting. If you're watching, I mean, not that you should rewatch How I Met Your Mother, but Ted is the least interesting of all the characters. Like, that is just a problem that sitcoms have when they make the lead be this, like, everyman, is that he doesn't have a strong stance, a strong point of view. And so I'm like, who even is Corey? Because this season, he seems like such an asshole. He doesn't seem like he is the same kid that when I'm going back and rewatching the Pod Meets World episodes, I'm like, oh, I see the link. I see that charming kid who's like, you know what? I was wrong. Topanga, I'm sorry. I don't see that shit at all anymore. So, like, I'm just like, who even is this dude?
So it's funny that you say that because, again, not to judge the show too harshly because it did come out at a different time, blah, blah, blah. All the usual things. However, as someone who did a lot of rewatches of other shows during this season, I think there is something about your character being a terrible person, but everyone else realizing that, or the show itself realizing that.
Sure.
Like, so for example, let's take Mad Men, which I talked about earlier. In season 6 and 7, the entire thing is how Dawn Draper is in fact the worst, and everyone just kind of pities him. It was like, dude, we were rooting for you so hard, but now we see that you aren't growing the way that we are all growing. And I feel like had the show taken that stance of like, Corey's getting worse and people are starting to notice and they're starting to be like, who are you?
Yeah.
I feel like that would have been fantastic because that's what the audience is doing.
Sure. And what you're talking about is a show that knows that the character is an asshole. When you're watching It's Always Sunny, they treat every character like, hey, we are the worst. We know we're the worst. We're going to play into it. That's part of the fun of this. Corey is not written. He's supposed to be the knight in shining armor. He's supposed to be the good guy. He's supposed to be the one you root for. And yet every episode he's making choices where you're like, bro, that's not the way to go about this. So I don't know. And you know what? Honorable mention for worst character? Fucking Jack. Fucking Jack.
Really?
Don't know what to do with this dude. He was either contributing to the sexism of Rachel the entire time or not having meaningful connections with any other character, including his brother. When Chet dies, they hardly even get into Jack's emotional state about it. And I doubt we ever revisit it from this point on. So it's just one of those things where it's like, he's not as bad as Corey, but if I had to choose a second, I just feel like Jack really didn't add a lot to the season that wasn't either problematic or pointless.
If we're going to talk honorable mentions, only because I can hear you, I can literally hear you in the future yelling at the podcast. We understand that Stuart is literally the worst. Like,
yes,
Stuart, saying what is kind of obvious and like needs to be said, what Stuart did to Topanga, the position that he puts her in, the fact that he lies, like that entire story arc is a character who is terrible. And I think it's upsetting because at least there is some kind of cathartic ending to what we see with him, and we just don't get that where we need to.
And like, he was written to be a villain. He was written to be the antagonist. Like, it's different when the antagonist does something villainous and they're just like, yeah, they're doing what they're supposed to do. But when the hero is acting like a villain, then you're just like, bro, like, who am I supposed to root for? Like, your mom's giving birth. She could die. Like, you are still bitching about a Valentine's dinner from a year ago. Like, bro, grow up. I don't know. It's hard.
Absolutely. To your point, it makes me remember, I just started watching the Clone High reboot. I don't know if you ever watched Clone High. Did you ever watch it at all?
No.
All right, for those of you who don't know, Clone High was a MTV show in 2000. So that should tell you everything you should know right
there.
But anyway, it is a fictional universe cartoon of all of these clones from the past, like Abraham Lincoln, Cleopatra, Gandhi. Like, all of these characters were cloned and they were raised in like a modern society. Hijinks pursue. That's like what it is. But they've done a reboot on the new HBO Max. And
you mean just Max?
No, I refuse. But they've done a reboot, and it's funny because it's 20 years after the original.
Okay.
And they even identify that their main character, who was like the everyman, who was the one that everyone was supposed to root for, all the other stuff, they put him in 2023, and everyone's like, oh dude, you're the worst. Like everyone, like, what? You still say what? You still believe what? You still act as what? And he very quickly becomes like an incel character, which I thought was hilarious, because all they did was bring him from the 2000s to today. And it was so obvious that he was the problem. Whereas someone who the time people thought were the problem, i.e. JFK, who's like a very sexualized character, he's like applauded for being sex positive and inclusive and honest and upfront. And it's just like, yeah, that's how I feel watching this season, where it's like, we're supposed to root for Corey.
You know, what you're saying would actually be like the best version of Girl Meets World or whatever sequel series, of just like Corey being an adult and realizing, oh, I'm actually the problem. I'm actually the worst. And every episode just kind of being schooled.
Hi.
Yeah.
I'm the problem. It's me.
Yeah. Like him just kind of like realizing all the ways he's kind of like ingested toxicity in a way that he didn't even realize and coming to terms with it. Like that just seems like what 30, 40-year-old Corey should be struggling with and dealing with in a way that I feel like would be really relevant and interesting to watch. But instead he, you know, actually he ends up
becoming a teacher and telling people that socialism is that. Yeah, trust me.
He educates the future generation without ever taking a look at his issues. So, yeah.
Okay, graduation ceremony.
Mm-hmm. We have some characters who will leave us this season and will not return to the series. So it's good that we kind of say our last goodbyes to them. The first being Chet Hunter, which
does die this season, but we know he comes back as a ghost.
Yeah, you know what? I'm counting him here because he did have his like final like goodbye here. I know that even in like Girl Meets World, he pops up. Girl Meets World, guys, don't even bring up Girl Meets World. I'm not counting that as canon right now. We'll get there eventually, maybe, but that's not canon right now. So I'm saying that it's his last season, and I want to give him his props now because I don't think we'll be able to do it next season.
Give him his flowers, literally.
Give him his flowers, yeah.
Okay, exactly. Flowers are great. Okay.
Next in our graduation ceremony, Tommy. Tommy was a big part in Eric's story. We don't see him next season. I know he comes back in Girl Meets World, but in terms of this series, this is the last we see him. And I do think that he brought out a lot in Eric and his story this season. So yeah, honorable mention to him.
He moved to California with people who would love him.
Exactly. And our last member of this graduation ceremony, Jebediah Lawrence.
I can't even tell you how I feel about Jebediah, this being the last that we see of him. Because
version two.
Version two. Okay. So that brings us to, I don't know if you know this, I don't know if you've been reading, but there is a fan theory out there that I have wanted to talk about, and I was reading them. So, and it makes sense if we want to go there. There is a fan theory that Topanga has multiple parents who present with multiple faces because they were a collective, so to speak. Mm. And the reason why we see Jebediah look different and her mom look different in different ways is that it was actually a poly family dynamic.
I feel like that theory works if in like, I don't know, some ancient German language, like Jebediah meant dad.
I'm just saying.
Do assign the three different actors who play her dad the same name. So I do feel like that's kind of a hard one to argue, but I always appreciate a good fantasy.
Hey, how do we know Jebediah just isn't like the word manager or pastor or judge? Sure. You know
it's
what I mean?
Title. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Jebediah is a title. Whoever is current reigning man in the household or whatever. I just thought that was a interesting comment. Sure. Because it actually, here's the thing. What's funny about that fan theory is that it would actually suit Topanga's character, which we learned about in earlier seasons. The idea that her parents were this polygon relationship and she was raised by more than just a two-parent household, honestly, that would fit. It would fit the hippie lifestyle. It would fit the people kind of always making comments being like, they're weird over there. Like, it would make sense for a conservative middle America family to be like, those people are weird. And for Topanga to like have that as a background, it would. I'm not saying that it
Guys,
is. I'm just saying that it would fit.
The hoops we have to jump through to try to make this shit make sense. Guys, it's ridiculous.
Hey, I like jumping hoops. I think this is some of my favorite part. And people have absolutely been talking to us about this. I'm putting it out there. So when we enter into season 7, you guys can let me know. See if there's any pieces out there that support the theory.
Of course. So yeah, those are the three that I can think of. There might be others. I don't know if Gambling Dan comes back. I don't know if we see Louie again. But these are the ones that kind of popped in the mind when I was thinking of graduations. Is there any character you could think of? I don't know. You probably don't know season 7 well enough.
You know, I don't. Santa Claus? Like, I believe.
who's the dude that Angela went out with? I don't think we see him again.
Yeah, we don't see him at all. Like, there are lots of like just in and out characters. There's lots of people that like the characters dated for like an episode that I know we'll never see again, like Eric's roommate. But for the most part, and the ones that we truly got to know and care about, it's sad. Final grade, I do want to touch on.
Before we get to the final grade, do you have a bra award? Do you have like the most culturally relevant moment of the season to you? Like what you think?
So. I think that this season is very complex because it brings up so many things that honestly we are still talking about and we are still kind of like, it's interesting that this is brought up. And I will say that the Stewart episode is probably the one that'll win the award.
Definitely, yeah.
But if we're going to talk about a moment where I was just like, really? It's the sidelining of the female characters this season.
In general, yeah.
It's just the idea that Topanga proposed and was trying to be a part of this family and had like legitimate concerns with Corey, and the show just kind of ripped them off. It's the fact that Angela got dumped so Sean could date around, and then they didn't really do anything with that other than say that Angela's pining. It's that Amy has a pregnancy later or around in her 40s, and they don't really do that. It's the entire character of Rachel. Yeah, I was getting
the entire character of her this season is kind of a bra moment.
That's what I'm saying. Like this season, I would say ironically, worse so than any other season.
Definitely.
Does not treat its female characters well.
Definitely. I would say this is the worst one for sure. So final grade. I'm sorry.
So it's so funny that you say that because I will let everyone know. This was our worst ranked season so far.
Wow. Not surprised even a little bit.
So I'm going to go through our current rankings.
Okay.
So for season 1, we did a 79.6.
Okay,
season 2, an 83.0, which means that season 2, I'll just say right now, is our highest rated season so far.
Is that right?
I'm just letting you know.
I thought we ranked season 1 higher than season 2. Okay, never mind.
Season 3, it's 82.19. Season 4 is 81.79. Season 5 is 81.70. Season 6 is 79.1. So,
wow.
Literally, so
what's our order? Okay, so top to bottom, like what do we have them listed?
So
as?
Top, so top season is season 2, followed by season 4, followed by season 3, followed by season 5, followed by season 1, followed by season 6.
You know, when you read it like that, I don't know that I stand by that. I don't know that I truly, after, because I just rewatched season 2 because of Pod Meets World, I don't know that it belongs in that spot. But I think a lot of it has to do with just like our expectations as we're watching it. I think that like when we were going into season 2, we were really excited to see all of the high school changes that like the Pod Meets World cast were a little like taken back by. I think we really loved entering that world. And I think entering that world was part of the reason why we kind of were a little bit more favorable to that season. We got a lot of new characters that we really enjoyed. But in terms of just like seasons to rewatch, I don't know that it's up there for me, but it does not surprise me at all that season 6 is at the bottom of the list.
You know, I'll say this. To me, it's interesting because I think one of the things that we do, as you said, I kind of like went into it. It was like, oh, I haven't seen this in forever. Let me rewatch with like fresh eyes. And as I'm further from those seasons, I can actually be like, oh, but there is a lot of good. With the season that we just had where it's just like, I don't know, maybe 4 really good episodes.
That's
like, that's yeah. Out of 22, we're just like, oh, whereas in season 1, I think we graded it so harshly because we were like, oh, there was a lot of filler. There was a lot of like what finding felt their like,
voice.
Yeah, finding their voice. In season 2, they really seem to understand. I think that I even think of season 3 a little bit more fondly. Like, I'm definitely like, oh, seasons 2 and 3 and 4. Again, like, we start to really go somewhere with the characters. Season 6, I have just been like, what are we doing? Where are we at?
Yeah.
Who are these characters?
You know, in reflection, I do think that the core of the show, seasons 3, 4, and 5, are probably just the best that we're going to get of this series. And it's so interesting because if you would have told me before we watched season 6, I was like, oh, it'll be towards the bottom. But like now I'm just like the very bottom of the list. And season 7 will probably be under season 6. So.
Well, that's inspiring. Really looking forward to that. Either way, you know what, you guys, let us know what your ranking is. By the way, there are a few more things that I want to address before we wrap up. One, homework. I don't know if you have any, but I just want to say to everyone, I have watched the end of Succession, the end of Marvelous Miss Maisel, and the season finale of Yellowjackets. I've consumed it all. No. Mm. And I have to say, we are currently in a writer's strike. I believe we are soon about to have an actor's strike.
Sure.
I think that we are, in fact, entering like the end of an era in like really good television. So I look forward to seeing what that does to our interpretation of season 7. Like, what is television if it's surrounded by bad television? You know what I mean?
For example, like I remember, when did season 4 of Stranger Things come out? Like last season, summer or something like that. And we were just like super hyped for it. We had like a big watch party for it. And I was just like, dude, I just don't really see there being like event television like that anymore. And to your point, like, you know, when you're not being fed, you know, good art for the longest time, you start to settle for scraps. And so I too wonder how that will make us feel. You know, television is going to be the first thing we feel from the strike. Movies, we probably won't really feel the effect of that until a little bit later. But still, it's going to be like a little bit of a period there where we go through an entertainment drought. So it'll be interesting to see how these worst seasons fare out in comparison.
Absolutely. Is there anything else you want to say?
You know what? I just want to give a special shout out and a thank you to all of the guests that we've had on for season 6. Just a quick shout out to Yasmin and Jamar and King Prime, Chris Lord, Nettie Smith, Caitlin McKillop, Danielle and Jackie from the No More Late Fees podcast, Dimitri from The Keg Show, Kevin / TJ1, If I think that's everyone. If we missed anyone, I'm so sorry. But we just had a fantastic guest this season, and we're really excited for season 7 to, you know, bring on some interesting guests to have really interesting conversations. Season 7. I mean, I can't believe we're talking about it because it's the end of the road for us. Like, we've been doing this for years, and we're finally getting to the last season, and I'm so excited. And I know we have a lot of surprises that we're gonna throw in, but yeah, it's been a fun season. I appreciate everyone for giving their voice, all the guests that we've had, and their opinions and their insight, because you've definitely made this show more richer of an experience for us. And yeah, on to season 7.
Absolutely. And as we're on to season 7, I will ask you guys, stay on if you've been listening for a little more announcements. There are a few things that we really want to share with you guys. So first and foremost, as we've told you guys, we have merch. Make sure that you are checking that out and that you are going, seeing our show, order, let us know what you guys think. Let us know what else you want to see. We don't have it now, but we are working on a Turned On by Turner shirt. Yes. We know this. We're letting you know right off the bat. It's coming. And then also we have a Discord. You guys asked for Discord.
Oh yeah.
We have the Discord. So meet us at Brett Meets World, hashtag 9463. That's point Bruh Meets World 9463. I will let you guys know right now. We have no idea what we're doing. So please help us out. You guys, if you want to be a part of it, help us build this community. We love being your fan cast and creating conversations and just having a space where we can talk about all things Boy Meets World, Girl Meets World, Pod Meets World. We're here for you. Reach out to us. We absolutely just, we enjoy doing this, and that's why we do it.
Absolutely.
And then we also have our road to 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. You guys have been really great with this. You're helping us. We're moving up slowly. But, you know, you guys continue, reach out, subscribe, and make sure that you are thinking of us while you're listening to Pod Meets World and their episodes. You guys have been really good at communicating that as well.
Can we just pause for a second? Because I just want to say this, that this season of our show has been really interesting because, you know, for years we did, you know, seasons 1 through 5, pretty much feeling like we weren't getting any attention. In this season, we actually got to multiple times meet with the cast, talk to the cast. It has been a crazy experience. I'm still pinching myself at the idea that this really happened. The fact that they invited us back to the show for season 2 recap is crazy. Like, guys, you know that we are just the biggest fans, and it's still a pinch myself moment to think that all of this actually happened, especially within this last season. So as big of a dud as season 6 was from a Boy Meets World standpoint, from a Bruh Meets World standpoint, I think this is probably our greatest season, and I'm, again, could not be more excited for season 7.
We're really happy to be on this ride with you guys. We look forward to being on this ride with you guys in season 7. As I said, there's a little bit of an announcement. We are going to take a hiatus between season 6 and season 7. As most of you know, I have some personal things that I'll be doing over the summer, some of which I will not be in the country for. So I'm going to take some time. We're going to take some time. But don't worry, we will still be around, giving you guys the occasional summer episode, lots of extra credit. We have lots of new things going on. And as I said earlier, we still have merch. We still have social. We now have Discord. We're still here, you guys. We just won't be releasing episodes until later on this fall. So
we're also going to be actively working to make season 7 the best season we possibly can. You guys have no idea. We are thinking about surprises. We're trying to think about everything possible so that we can go out with a big bang and make this just like our swan song, like our last, you know.
Absolutely.
I'm so sad that it's coming to an end, but it's also like kind of incredible that we've been doing it too.
As always, really appreciate you guys. Thank you for reaching out to us at Bruh Meets World. You can find us on all of the places, anywhere that you've heard the podcast, as you're doing now. Find us on YouTube. Find us, reach out at bruhmeetsworld@gmail.com. Is there anything else you want to say before we leave them for the summer?
No, you know what? I really don't, just again, thank you to everyone who's been listening. Make sure that you share our episodes. Make sure you share our Pod Meets World episodes and join us for our farewell season at the end of the summer when we come back around the time of the 30th anniversary of the show. So it's going to be a lot of big things happening.
All right, you guys, remember to dream,
to try,
and do good.
Do some damn good, guys. You have the whole summer. Make something great of it.
Do something good. All right. Later, bros.
Later, bros.
You can click Alf. When the sport meets world.